spin me like I have already spoken, like a spoke holds its tension. Like it's together that the spokes are the invention of a wheel, that a wheel is only as round as its tension, that a wheel is a round invention. She gets on her bicycle.
Cycling us into this episode of Totally Spoked is Evelyn Perry, and she rides. Good morning, bike bunnies. You are listening to CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC, and I'm your host, Christine Bruce. In this episode, Councillor Jen Patterson will join me to give us an insider scoop on the new Princess Street upgrades. And for those who don't know what that means, the upgrades are going to include a MUP. What's a MUP, you ask? And do we really need one in Smithers? Ready? Go get your walking shoes, your bicycle, your skateboard, your snowshoes, whatever active transportation mode you choose, and let's set out.
Potholes and the streetcar tracks, tuned in to my own personal soundtrack. I'm singing out loud as I pedal through the streets, spinning to the rhythm of 4.5 million heartbeats. And I tend to...
So, what's a MUP? The acronym MUP stands for Multi-Use Path. If you're a pedestrian or a cyclist or even a skateboarder, you might know we already have one on Fulton Avenue. A multi-use path is a great way to get around for those into active transportation. And Smithers has actually installed this second MUP this summer, along Highway 16 between Tatlow Road and the bridge, taking active transportation users onto the Cycle 16 trail. This MUP is so much safer than traveling alongside vehicle traffic moving at the posted speed limit of 60 kilometers an hour. That's really fast when you're trying to navigate on a narrow shoulder lane that's only separated by a painted line. Not safe. So, now you know what a MUP is. And do we really need one? Oh yeah. Consider sending your 8-year-old out on a bicycle with a helmet on their little head and saying, "Have fun out on those roads." Yeah, no. If you've got a multi-use path for them to get from home to the park, they're gold. So, yeah, we need one. The more MUPs we have, the safer our residents. And if you make the roads safer, pretty soon everyone will be out getting some exercise, saving money on gas and car repairs, with the added benefit of better air quality, less noise pollution, and more community interactions. Jen, welcome to Totally Spoke. It's really great to have you here. I love having somebody who's already engaged in the conversation come to Totally Spoke to have them with me.
I love that name. It's so creative. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome. So I was watching that town council meeting in May, and I want to say that I admire, first of all, your advocacy as a mother and a town councillor, because you were arguing to keep the active transportation plan study in place. Will you first tell me about your family and why this matters to you?
I would love to. Thank you for that question. So I have a brand new son named Casey. I love to bike myself, and we are blessed to live here in Wet'suwet'en Territory, very close to the CICK train car where we are today, which is one of the busiest corners, I would say, in Smithers. So as a family, we love to walk, bike everywhere around town. I love living in a community where everything is so central. That's a little about us.
Okay. So the reason I contacted you was to get some updates on the Princess Street project, because I'm really excited that we're going to have a multi-use path there suddenly. That's a fabulous idea. Look at us. We're world class all of a sudden.
Absolutely.
So let's start with the originally planned work. It was really simple, wasn't it, what they wanted to do there?
I think I don't want to undersell how much work likely went into the design process, both with the consultants and staff. I think one of the things that most excites me is knowing that we're looking at doing some development around childcare at the top of the park there, recognizing how many people use that park, how many people use just all of the active transportation and infrastructure that has started to be built within our community. So for me to start to look at how that all connects into one sort of safe corridor from potentially one side of town to the other is exceptional, but it's not likely easy, and it has taken years and years and years. But yeah, I agree. I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, so it started out really simple, and then they gave us three options. Suddenly these three options that came out of nowhere, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was from WSP and maybe Alan Kindrat's recommendation, because he looked at it and saw the possibilities.
Yeah, correct. So my understanding is that Town of Smithers staff, like any other municipality, would work closely with consultants. And they would do, you know, extensive assessment surveys, and then they come up with options, as you're aware, they presented that to council, and there was a number of conversations that were had. And then they ended up going with a design. And then at the last, one of the last meetings that we had, I noticed that they did, I believe they switched some of the primary infrastructure from one side to the other. I mean, obviously, I trust town staff and WSP to make that decision, obviously, in partnership with public consultation. But the design itself, I think, is phenomenal, and that it creates that safe lane specifically for pedestrians and cyclists, mm-hmm. especially if we start to see an increase in children using that stretch. And then, of course, we know seniors use that stretch as well quite a bit.
Well, actually, I got on the bike as soon as I saw that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I want to see exactly what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. It's one thing for me to look at something that somebody's posted online, but if I go there and look at it myself, I'm suddenly aware of things that they didn't include in the map. For instance, the Bulkley Lodge is right there. So there's seniors who have an opportunity now to go for a longer walk. There are, well, let's see, what else is there? The soup kitchen at St. James Anglican Church is right there.
The Montessori School.
The Montessori School is there. There's a small play park at the corner of 12th and Princess Street. Like, this gives people an opportunity to get there safely. There's the Fulton Avenue multi-use path is intersecting there. That makes me really excited that we're going to be able to connect things. That I'm going to be able to, it's not going to be just this place off in the middle of nowhere for people for three or four blocks to be able to use some safe infrastructure, but they can't actually get out of that section.
My grandparents were in the Bulkley Lodge for years, and every day I would go to visit them and try to walk them from the lodge. You basically go through the parking lot, and I would never go up Princess. I would always, to your point, go to Fulton just because it was so easy and comfortable for them in the wheelchair. So I really appreciate your enthusiasm. It's important for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of people there who would benefit from active transportation, walking, cycling, skateboarding. There's lots of opportunities here. I'm just so excited. As soon as I got on my bike and saw this thing, suddenly a passion ignited in me. I'm just really excited about it. So the upgrades to Princess Street are exactly what I want on streets that intersect with residential areas. This has been my dream for my whole life to have this. They enable residents to get outside for various reasons, to be active and safe and connected. And I live down at the fairgrounds, so I don't go up there very often unless I'm heading to somebody's house to do something, or if I'm heading to the BB Tool Library, if I'm helping out at the soup kitchen. But suddenly, I'm like, I'm really excited that now I have infrastructure that I can get there all the time.
Well, I love your enthusiasm. It's so great.
So one of the things that I'd like to point out, though, is it doesn't actually take you downtown. I wanted to connect this to downtown because that's where all of my destinations tend to be. The post office and the doctor's appointments and groceries. And, you know, I want us to be able to connect the whole town so that you can get from A to B safely. So would you agree with that it needs to be connected?
Yeah, I think for me, my sort of perspective on connection or connectivity between our community, recognizing we are quite a small population, and when I talk about small population, I think it's just a set expectation of how we generate revenue, so either through taxation or grant funding or community partnerships, not to say that anything isn't possible, but just recognizing how many competing priorities we all have. So my vision or dream is somewhat similar to yours, and that what I would love to see is from one end of town to the other, one sort of path that we could connect so that if one individual needed to go safely from one end of town to the other, they could, recognizing that as much as I would love to see what we have on Princess Street everywhere, similar to how they do it in other countries around the world, I just want to set the expectation of I don't think that's likely possible, even during the time that I'm still going to be here on this planet. But I am really excited to hopefully see that occur over time. I had really interesting conversations with Mark Allen about, you know, how do they even do an assessment of what areas in the community are priority and how that's done. And so it is very much sort of piecemeal, right? So you'll start to see they're actually also doing some work here just directly across from the gallery here, the art gallery and the fire hall. So let's just pick on, for example, you start at cycle 16 and you follow that Fulton Avenue connector now all the way. You know, in my opinion, that will become a safe corridor. So you could go from one end of town to the other. My ultimate dream as someone who's an avid golfer would be that I would also see sort of a safe pathway then to the golf course as well.
Yes.
As an example, just because, you know, the Highway 16 corridor there is quite narrow. So I hope that over time it does become a lot safer. I really get uncomfortable when I see people having to cycle along Highway 16, just for obvious reasons, recognizing that, you know, we're obviously heavily industry driven and there's wide loads and things, and that's just the way the world works. But I am excited, and I do agree with you in that I think, you know, over time we will likely start to see more connections that way.
So what happened in Paris in the last couple of years, they exploded with a whole bunch of infrastructure. That never happens around the world. And that is not my expectation. I know that people need some time to think these things through and plan it and make sure that all the voices are heard, make sure that everybody feels included. You can't just, you know, push something on a community. So no, I don't expect this to happen overnight, but I sure would like to see it happen sometime, you know, in the near future, where we have more and more of this so that more people can get out.
And I think one of the things that I didn't think about, which is a bit embarrassing, I must confess, is the infrastructure under the ground. I completely forgot, and I've heard from some of my fellow counselors who have been there long before I have, about sort of the lack of investment in infrastructure for, I mean, obvious reasons. It's not cheap to be able to replace water mains, water lines, sewer lines, etc. So, you know, a little naive me is like, well, you just tear up the concrete and throw it down and paint some lines and, you know, maybe put up some trees and call her a day. But what I forget is that there's aging infrastructure and a lot of it needs to be replaced. So, you know, even a small block that may seem to be, you know, inexpensive or short, it's far greater than what I initially anticipated.
I think something I learned up here, too, is that we're remote. So nothing comes out of the shop. It all has to be brought up here.
It's true, 100%. Yeah.
But that we have these things, that we have, you know, we're winning awards. We just won an award for Cycle 16 for that trail. That we're winning awards in Little Smithers says something. I'm really proud to live in this community because we are moving in a direction that makes a lot of sense for everyone.
And I like that you talked about Cycle 16 because I do think that that's an example where if we don't have infinite resources or money available to us through like taxation or grant funding, community-driven determination, strategic planning, there's so many examples like Cycle 16, not to compare, but I just think we live in such an incredible place where you see that all the time. It's like the Skate Park Society. I mean, the list is on and on and on. I don't want to like forget about anybody.
Oh, but there's so many great initiatives that I have gotten involved with over the years, and they're all volunteer-driven.
Totally.
And you know, I was talking to somebody this morning about this. They have lived in other communities where there's only five or six people basically behind all the volunteer things, and they get burnt out and nobody else steps up. Now, whatever that is, I don't know what that means, and there's probably good reasons for it. But here in Smithers, I have a lot of friends who I can say to them, hey, this thing needs to happen, and I just haven't got the bandwidth for it right now. Can you take it on? And, you know, within a few minutes, we found somebody who, okay, let's do it. That's the attitude up here. Okay, let's do it. Let's just pull together and we'll get her done.
It's so funny that you said that because when you asked about my family, you know, we're all public sector servant focused. Like, so my partner's on the volunteer fire department. You know, he works for Crown Corporation. I work for the province. His dad was a volunteer firefighter his whole career. My mom was a public servant. My stepdad was a public servant. Like, so the generation of public service is so deeply entwined that I think you make a good point around setting expectations and not burning ourselves out. Because it's so easy to do. You get so excited and you don't want to lose out on these opportunities. So I appreciate you saying that because there are so many exciting opportunities. It's hard not to say, well, I want to do this and I want to do that.
But you can also, as a volunteer, be just one of the small mammals involved. Like
totally.
Every year, the Midsummer Music Festival comes to the fairgrounds where I live. I've made a decision that every other year I'm going to go away and pretend that thing never happened because it's a lot of people on my property. But every second year, I'm happy to volunteer some of my time, and they always take me on as one of the MCs. And I really love it. I look forward to it, doing it every other year. You know, that's a small contribution, but it helps the thing succeed.
I like that a lot.
I think that's really important.
Totally. Not putting too much pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good advice.
And then we all get to enjoy whatever the benefits are that this thing brings in, right?
Totally. Such a great example. So many of my friends and family are part of Midsummer.
Yeah, Midsummer's great.
So good.
As is Cycle 16, as is the Northwest Animal Shelter. There's so many opportunities out there. And it just makes my day so much more full and interesting. I don't know. I can't not volunteer.
I think you're describing Smithers, one of the best things about living here.
Yeah.
Very community-centric, driven.
I think we're really good at community building up here compared to a lot of other communities. I think we haven't forgotten. Now, my grandmother's generation, everybody had a card table because everybody would go and play bridge together, or there would be, you know, the church tea, that there'd be the kids function that everybody would do, the brownies and girl guides, and everybody was involved with these things. My dad was a Lions member for years and years.
It's so funny that you mentioned Lions Club last night. I said to one of my fellow counselors, because we were talking about another member of council, her business is supporting one of the foundries or doing some of the work on one of the foundries in Burns Lake. And she was just commenting about how beautiful it was. And I just had this epiphany where I was like, for me, when I was a kid growing up, it was Lions Clubs.
Yeah.
And just to see that progression over time, it kind of made me feel a little bit older, which I don't mind, but it made me laugh because I was like, oh, it's just interesting now. You know, we call it foundry, but I love that you talked about that. Yeah, I was a Lion Club kid. It was awesome. I was so excited.
Yeah, me too. And I was really proud of my dad. He was the secretary for years and years. I was really proud of him. Mm-hmm. But I think Smithers is very good at community building. And we do see the value of it. Maybe it's because we live remote and we realize that, you know, we can't rely on things being at the store, that they have to be brought up. We saw that in COVID. You know, there was stuff missing off the shelves. And we all just pitched in and said, all right, where will we get this? Do we really need it today?
Yeah.
It's a good town for that kind of thing. We're pretty good at managing, you know, what has to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Back to the original question.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about the Princess Street upgrades.
I'm glad you are. I'm so excited too. It's going to be great.
Yeah. I like to see that my town council has those priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should end this by saying I was raised in Ontario, and every summer there was a lot of construction because, you know, the weather's as tough there as it is here. So you get the winter and you get potholes.
Wild storms there.
Oh, yeah. And so every year we talk about there's two seasons, winter and construction. And nobody likes construction season, right? It is what it is. So I'm looking at a lot of construction here in town and thinking, oh, here we go again. But if I can keep my eye on the prize at the end, look what we're going to have when we're finished with the construction. We need to have the construction to get this done. And then we have a big celebration at the end because we're going to be so much better for infrastructure.
100%. And I always remind myself that the women and men that are working in those conditions in the heat.
True.
I could never do what they do. I'm very grateful for them. And I like that we're sort of wrapping things up, but maybe on a ironic note, is just to let folks know, like, let's give them the space and time to do their work as well, too, and make sure that they all get home safe to their families as well. Because I know it's easy to kind of feel like we're in a rush to get where we're going, but I constantly have to remind myself to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank your construction worker.
Exactly.
They're providing a really valuable service this summer.
100%.
You're right. And in tough conditions.
Yes.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you so much.
I mean, if there's a listener-supported radio station, it means that people can get daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world, not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture, different understanding, but a different picture, a different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
A food security podcast is Simmering, that asks the question, what's the food system you want to eat from?
One where I know the people who have saved the seed, planted the soil, prepped the beds, harvested. The whole community has access to that food, and also the people growing that food have the resources and support they need to have a standard of living.
Ones where I know where and who has brought my food to my table.
Not just those fortunate able to access it.
Whether you're in a hospital and you don't have control over your food, or you have the ability to go to the farmer's market, or you just want to have nourishing food on your plate.
Tempest in a Stockpot comes out of the oven fall 2025. You are listening to Totally Spoked on CICK 93.9 FM, and I'm Christine Bruce. Before the break, Councillor Jen Patterson joined me at the CICK train car for a conversation about the Princess Street upgrades. Jen has a small child herself and is an avid cyclist, so she's pretty keen on these changes. Now, in case you aren't sure what the Princess Street upgrades include, I'm going to walk you through the four options offered and explain how option three won top dog.
A crank and a chain, two wheels and a frame, a revolution that keeps me arriving.
As of this week, July 7th, the town of Smithers is beginning construction on what's being called the Princess Street upgrades. The existing sidewalks and drainage on Princess Street are in disrepair and in need of replacement. The original thought was to just replace the sidewalks and put in better drainage. However, council quickly realized they had an opportunity to shift away from traditional sidewalks to a multi-use pathway, encouraging walking and cycling. This aligns with the town's broader goals for active transportation. And this kind of foresight in infrastructure upgrades is making a lot of people happy. Multi-use pathways are being installed all over the world and have been proven to provide a safer environment for pedestrians and cyclists by separating active transportation users from vehicle traffic. The other benefit to including a multi-use path in the planned roadwork is that it's more cost-effective than doing it as a separate project later. The project is being funded through a combination of the Northwest BC Resource Benefits Alliance, or RBA, the Ministry of Transportation and Transit's BC Active Transportation Fund, and the town's budget. Last year, the town engaged with residents through open houses and feedback sessions to gather input on four design options for the Princess Street upgrades. So, as I said, the idea of the upgrades is to improve roadway design, including sidewalks, curb and gutter, and stormwater management. The project now includes a multi-use pathway to support active transportation, linking with the Fulton Avenue multi-use path and onto the Cycle 16 connector trail. Last November, Town Council was presented with four suggested options for this construction. Based on community feedback, Council approved option 3, a separated multi-use pathway, or MUP, with one lane on-street parking for the Princess Street redesign between the Fulton area MUP and 16th Avenue. If you visit that section, as I did, you'll notice a couple of things. It's a relatively quiet part of town, mostly residential, but leading to a few public spaces like parks. St. James Anglican Church is there, with the Montessori Daycare and the soup kitchen. The BV Lodge rests at the bottom of the hill, and the Edge Learning Center and the BV Tool Library are at the top. This section is a hill. Not a challenging one, but a climb nonetheless. So maybe a bit of a challenge for kids and seniors. A residential street, not unlike any other in any small town. Here are a few details on the four options and the feedback each got, which I found at smithers.ca/princess-street-upgrades. Option 1 was simply the installation of better drainage and new sidewalks. No change to the roadway or parking on that section of Princess Street. This design was supported by 5 respondents who emphasized the need for on-street parking as opposed to bike lanes. These respondents expressed opposition to bike lanes, citing low cyclist numbers and concerns about funding priorities. My comment to these 5 respondents is that everywhere active transportation infrastructure is installed, the old chestnut has applied. If you build it, they will come. Option 2 recommended the addition of bike lanes to the roadway. This design would use the existing road design and would offer mode-separated infrastructure with a painted line. The trouble with this design, as we are all discovering, is that a painted line doesn't actually separate bikes from cars, giving the design a false sense of security. The design also did not include on-street parking. Unsurprisingly, this was not a very popular option. Option 3, which featured both a MUP and one-side on-street parking, was the most popular one, offering a compromise between maintaining some on-street parking and adding a safer, separated multi-use pathway for pedestrians and cyclists. The only downside suggested in this design was that the MUP doesn't separate pedestrian and cyclist modes. Option 4 was similar to Option 3 in that it offered a MUP separate from the vehicle roadway. This option reduces paved surface and installation costs and creates more space for utilities, trees, and green space. Unfortunately, there was no on-street parking in this option. According to the website, there are several recurring themes from the feedback. The big one was that residents want to balance the need for on-street parking and active transportation. Parking concerns were particularly important for community services, such as churches and daycares, And hey, I drive over to the tool library in Edge sometimes, and even to the soup kitchen, so vehicle parking can be important. Another recurring theme was the focus on safety and accessibility. Everywhere you have people trying to get from A to B, regardless of their age and abilities, we should be providing a physical separation between vehicles and those using active transportation to increase safety on our roads. Multiple respondents advocated for extending the proposed improvements to 16th Avenue and even adjacent to Ranger Park to enhance the town's active transportation network. Since the sidewalk between 15th Avenue and 16th Avenue was replaced in 2019, this block hadn't been included in the original project scope. However, council agreed to extend the project to 16th Avenue as a MUP. Residents also highlighted the health and environmental benefits of active transportation, like reduced emissions and better air quality. And finally, respondents emphasized the importance of tree preservation and enhancing the aesthetics of Princess Street. Some Princess Street property owners actually supported Option 3 only on the condition that no trees would be cut down. Good on you, Smithers. As I sit in one of our earlier episodes, I've been reading Michael Colville Anderson. Here are a couple of quotes that apply to what we're talking about today. On parking, the desire to park as close as possible to your destination is universal. The flexible nature of bikes makes it considerably easier compared to cars. On safety, when the speed limit hits 50 or 60 kilometers an hour, it's time for hard separation. The usual reserved stripes for cyclists that only separate them from the road with a line can only be regarded as a surrogate solution. There's a petition around town that encourages Smithers Town Council to reconsider holding public engagement on the 3rd Avenue upgrades. According to the site change.org, Smithers has a great chance to make biking downtown feel safe and easy for everyone, from kids heading to school to older residents running errands. A protected bike lane on 3rd Avenue would link Queen Street to King Street, tying together the Civic Center, Central Park, local shops, the new library, New Heim Elementary, and more, without forcing riders to mix with busy traffic or dodge car doors. Town staff had a plan to explore designs, talk with residents and businesses, and show clear costs, paid for entirely by $30,000 in outside grants. Unfortunately, in March 2025, Council canceled that study and sent the grant money back. That decision effectively killed the project and risks future funding, even though the project has been a top promise in the town's active transportation plan since 2019. By signing this petition, you're telling Council you still want a safer, healthier downtown and respectfully are requesting that the Town of Smithers Council reinstate the conceptual design and public consultation study for our protected, all ages and abilities bicycle lane on 3rd Avenue from Queen Street to King Street, and to take the necessary steps to build this critical east-west link as outlined in the town's 2019 Active Transportation Network Plan. If you want to sign this petition or even hear more about the initiative, you can physically visit McBike on Main Street in Smithers. You can also go online at change.org/p/3rd-AVE-bike-lane-initiative.
The past is behind us, the back wheel is the power, the front wheel, free wheels, hour after hour. The past is behind us, the back wheel is the power, the front wheel, free wheels, hour after hour. You can't ride a bike in 30 pounds of petticoats. You don't have a voice in a democracy without a vote. A wheel would collapse if it wasn't for the spokes.
And that's it for Totally Spoked on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. I'm Christine Bruce, and I thank you for listening. My thanks also to Councillor Jen Patterson for giving us an insider perspective on the Princess Street upgrades. In the next episode, I'm booking interviews with Alan Kindrat and Erica Hogland of WSP and Alan Cormier, president of the Cycle 16 Trail Society. because I want to hear all about the PIBC 2025 Award for Excellence in Planning that we recently won for our Cycle 16 Trail. That thing is world class, and I think we need to celebrate. See you then, Active Transportation Bunnies.